Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. Millions of kids across the country are starting school this week. And yesterday we heard about how access to early childhood education is spotty in America, even as programs expand nationwide. And we've been hearing a lot from all of you about some of the changes you'd like to see for pre-K in the United States.
Hey, this is Tim Holly, and I'm calling from Vancouver, Washington. I actually moved here with my family to escape the horrible education system of Florida. And basically, my take on this is that education is literally the most egregiously underfunded facet of modern life. Our kids should definitely begin school as early as 3 years old. Starting sooner is going to help them develop the social skills that they need to adjust to society and hit the ground running.
This is Stacy from Key West, Florida. I think kids should start school around three. It should be public at that age, but I don't think it should be mandatory, because every kid needs preparation for kindergarten, but they all need different levels of preparation. And it shouldn't be available only for people who have a lot of money or none at all. It should be available for everybody.
But even as more kids are attending school earlier, what they're learning and how they're learning it varies from classroom to classroom, and it often doesn't match up with the best science. That's the lesson that Suzanne Bouffard learned when she began to look at pre-kindergartens with her own toddler. At the time, Bouffard was a child development specialist at Harvard, and the experience set her on a course across the country visiting classrooms for her new book. It's called The Most Important Year, Pre-Kindergarten and the Future of Our Children. Bouffard says the importance of early childhood education is recognized now more than ever, and that right now might be our best chance to get it right.
It's the most important year for a number of reasons. For many children, this is their first experience of school. It's their first opportunity to get excited about learning and about the idea of school, and that feeling can stay with them for the rest of their education. And we're at a really interesting and important time in the history of early childhood education, because we have more funding for public pre-K and other early childhood programs than ever before. But I have been worried over the last few years, as I've seen programs scale up very quickly, that we're not paying enough attention to how we're doing that. And that if we don't pay attention to that now at the beginning of creating our pre-K programs, we may look back regretfully in a few years, or even worse, policymakers may look back and say, we tried pre-K, it didn't work, let's move on to something else.
Because they didn't do it right in the first place. Well, I definitely want to talk about the science of what works and whether it's reaching little classrooms. But before we do that, what do we know about small children and their brains and their abilities that informs how early they should start school and what that should be like?
We've known for a long time that early childhood is a critical period for developing all kinds of skills. But over the last decade, we've developed a really large base of research that shows just how much brain development happens during early childhood. And that's because the brain makes more connections more quickly during early childhood than at any other time. And if you nurture those pathways and you foster them, the brain makes more and more connections. But the pathways that you don't use get pruned off, as neuroscientists say, in a kind of use it or lose it mentality. While we don't have a specific age that we know is important for kids to start learning in a classroom, we do want all young children to have enriching learning experiences from birth. There are a lot of ways that children can get that, whether it's at home or in an early childcare program or in a playgroup. But as children get older, to ages 3 and 4, there are some real benefits to beginning to experience a classroom environment, because it helps young children learn to be part of a class, to follow the expectations for a classroom, and interact with their peers in a way that they don't when their families are around. For example, there are some studies that suggest that children who are in kindergarten classrooms with larger percentages of classmates who went to preschool do better. It's really interesting because in that case, it's not even whether the child herself went to preschool, but whether her classmates did. It's especially true for children from low-income families and for children with low language skills when they come in.
So let's talk about best practices before we talk about anything else. What are the best programs doing that's right out of the research that they should be doing?
They engage children in learning in ways that are exciting and interesting and that are developmentally appropriate. They do things like introduce children to the world around them, to how things work. They ask them questions about, what are you thinking? Why did you design the block ramp that way? And what happened when you experimented with cars to see how fast they would go. They really get children thinking. And one of the ways they do that is to set up activities that are hands-on and that are fun and that to children are play, but they have a learning goal in mind.
So those are some of the best practices in programs around the country. What about the worst?
One of the things that concerns me the most are classrooms that are really focused on drilling basic skills. And in my reporting, I saw that these kinds of programs are more common in neighborhoods that tend to serve low-income children. The reason for that, the justification given is often that children from less resourced families tend to start school behind. So when I visited classrooms that have what is sometimes called a skill and drill approach, they did a lot of lecturing at children, a lot of flashcards, a lot of chanting songs, very little of the hands-on exploratory play that I described before. And young children's brains are just not wired to learn that way. And I've seen myself, when I visited these classrooms, that it often turns children off to learning. And at a very young age, they decide that school is a boring and punitive and uninteresting place to be.
So all of this is really important, Suzanne Bouffard. There's no question about it. Let's be honest. I mean, one of the facts that came out on this show yesterday is that many, many young children across the country don't have access to funded pre-K programs. So if a lot of these kids are at home, what are some of the basic things that mom and dad can do to at least get close to the experience, to replicate the kind of learning that you're saying is so important for these 3- and 4-year-olds?
The most important thing is for families to make learning a part of everyday life. That includes reading and asking questions about what you read, pointing out interesting things that you see in the world, whether you're pointing out the letter that starts your child's name when you see it on a sign outside, or whether you're counting how many stones you see on the path. Those kinds of things help children's brains develop, and they also get children in the habit of being curious and being learners. That being said, it's also important to try to expose your child to opportunities like children's museums and libraries and other kinds of public spaces. Many families don't have the resources to do those things. And that's one of the real concerns, that the families who don't have the resources to send their children to early education programs may also be lacking in the resources to do those kinds of things. Kids who are not in early education programs are home for a variety of reasons. Some families make that choice intentionally. And then there are some children who are home or with a grandparent or with a neighbor because that's really all that's available to them and possible. So across all these spaces, we need to make sure that children have opportunities to learn, whether it's in a classroom or a community center or a library or in conversation with the adult they spend time with.
Suzanne Bouffard, thank you for being here and for spending this time.
Thank you so much for covering this topic.
Suzanne Bouffard is a child development specialist, and she's author of The Most Important Year, Pre-Kindergarten, and the Future of Our Children.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.